This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Presented by Mosing Motor Cars. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City,
the only city of speed.
And if you think, okay, Formula One's off this weekend, MotoGP is done, and there's nothing going on this week, you should know better. Then Speed City's got it all covered for you, because we've got some really exciting stuff for you tonight. Our big guest tonight is Steve Oseth. He is the Vice President and General Manager of SECA Pro Racing. But more importantly, he's the boss man.
He's the big man.
Of the new F3 and F4 series that the F4 series has been out now, been going for its second season. And the F3 is debuting next year. And they announced it at the Formula One race here in Austin. But we've got Steve Oseth, and he's the guy to talk to about all this. And it's really exciting. And Jonathan, you expressed it in a tweet earlier why it's so exciting.
I really do feel so. I've been involved in Formula 3 worldwide for a long time. It'll be my 25th. I forgot I'd missed one. Macau World Cup of Formula 3 next weekend. In fact, I leave next weekend. It's the third weekend in November. It always is, and it has been since 1954. But it's since the 80s it was Ayrton Senna who won the first one in 1983. So, yeah, I've been involved in Formula 3 for a long time. But, of course, the missing link of Formula 3 has always been America.
Yep.
And to me, it's massively significant to get an FIA-sanctioned Formula 3 regional, I will add, and that's Canada, Mexico, and the USA, which actually makes it even more significant, starting next year. This is a major, major step forward, both for Liberty Media, because it's a road to, and it has been for national championships and the FIA European Championship of F3 for many years. To be involved in, I think, to have been involved in both Macau and the Toyota Racing Series, this is where the young talent is, and we've proved it time and time again. And you've seen from the guys that have come on the show, from Santino to Rossi or whatever, Formula 3 is where you cut your teeth if you're going to be any good.
Yeah, and you know, Jonathan, you've been bringing guys from Macau and the Toyota Racing Series, these young guys, and we've seen them. We've had Lance Stroll.
Yep.
Years ago.
We've Max.
Had Max Verstappen. We've had Alexander Rossi years ago. All these guys that you have been bringing to us. And really, sitting across the table from me is one of the most knowledgeable people, most experienced people in Formula 3 on the planet, Jonathan, with your experience. And I know that this is so important for the United States, because we're going to have a two series that are a ladder straight to Formula One. And also, bigger than that, though, is the way they're changing. Like, if you, I just went to GP2Series.com and it switches over to FIA Formula F2 Series now. So they're trying.
Ain't that simple.
Well, I know. And I was.
But you're right. It's been this way for ad infinitum. It's been very confusing.
Yeah, we were having this. Let's have the same discussion we were just having because it's been very confusing. It's like, okay, there was Formula Renault, Renault 3.5, there was GP2, GP3, F3, F2. It's like, wait a minute, where's the ladder? And now what I'm wondering is this Liberty Media helping to clean it up, as I would call it? Because now you say, okay, it's Formula 1, then below that it's Formula 2, below that it's Formula 3, then below that it's Formula 4. So
I'd love to say that it was Liberty's idea, but I may be wrong here, and I know they pushed for the F3. Steve will have the answer to this, but I do think that the FIA as a board, as a governing body, were realizing that that was the case. And in fact, when they came out with GP2 and GP3, that was to clean up what was Formula 3000 back in the day, and what Renault 3.5 was achieving on its own. That's one company, Renault, had created one car where everybody could drive it and it was cost effective, and GP2 at the time was too expensive and they didn't have a GP3 then.
Yeah. And so if these guys want to take sponsors and attach them to the names, that's great. But if still keep it F2, F3, F4.
Yeah, exactly. And let me for the neophytes, as it were, and I was one and I've done a lot of time on this. Let me do the whole little Jimmy is aged five, right?
Okay, yeah.
Little Jimmy is aged five and he says, Daddy, I'd like to go race. I want to be the next Alexander Rossi, right? And you say, okay, well, I happen to have, you know, made a few pennies as a bank manager over the years. But, and you say, okay, well, what are we going to do? You go karting. Once you've been karting, Rotex, there are world championships in karting, but a national karting championship or a regional championship gets you up the ladder to be noticed. You start beating your fellow guys. The next step is probably F4, which we always say is the movement from basically a go-kart, which to slicks and wings. So what that is, slick tires and wings, which of course therefore creates downforce. And it's your first also introduction to probably ECUs and data and so on and so forth. So it's a lot more complex. You get in a car, you go. And if you're any good, you're fast. And if you've got a good mechanic, then he may be able to tweak the engine. When you get to slicks and wings, it's a whole different ballgame. You have an engineer, you can change the ride height, you can change the suspension, the roll bars, etc., etc., etc. F4, Kirkwood, the current champion. Next move would be, if you were in Europe, it would be maybe Formula Renault, which is the same sort of level but slightly higher. Then Formula 3, then GP3, GP2, and Formula 1. That's the role. Here in the States, there was the Rota Indy, and there still is, the Mazda Rota Indy, and of course, Formula Ford would be starting out before the F4 arrived, onto effectively F2000, then to Indy Lights, and then to Indy. So so there's been a ladder, and there's a strong ladder, but this basically is, like I said, the missing link, which is you can take a kid from karting, move him to F4, and look, watch Kyle Kirkwood now is in a very strong position to go all the way, whether he wants to go to Indy or whether he wants to go to Formula 1.
The current U.S. F4 champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll be going to F3 next year. And by the way, he wins $100,000. And I'd like to hear from Steve again what the F3 guy will win, because that will probably be more. But that then puts them in a great position. And I'm, like I said, given that I do Macau every year, I'm really interested to know what kind of talent we're going to get out of this regional series that could go on and take on the world.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the money with Steve as well. I want to talk about, because, you know, what does it cost roughly for a team to compete in F4 and then roughly compete in F3? So I think that's a good discussion to have.
And it is, and it's a valuable discussion, because one of the big problems and one of the reasons the FIA have sought to kind of get some stability to all of this is that the costs have risen. And motor racing is all about cost. I mean, you know, it's like anything. You throw enough money at it and, you know, it'll stick. And especially when you're dealing with pieces of metal and you're tuning engines, you know, and I know, that you can take a Mustang and go, that's great, it does this horsepower, but every guy who owns a Mustang says, yeah, I got 300 horsepower. I got 310 horsepower. You know the game.
Yeah.
And it's just money, right? And that's absolutely the simple equation of motor racing, of simplified to the simplest. But so the bottom line is they needed to make that step from karting to the next level affordable. Especially to dads, because think about it, if you're karting, you're not going to have a bunch of sponsors. You might have a helmet sponsor, you might have a, you know, somebody notice you, but it's usually personal sponsors, parents, money, etc., etc. So it's only when you start getting into, we saw Benjamin Pedersen with the Dirtfish, who are now one of our sponsors, but you know, you saw that name probably for the first time in F4 this year. Well, that's, you know, that's where you start to get the sponsorship. And the Carl Kirkwoods, who you saw at the Buxton Bash, you know, and on our show, you know, just great marketing tools. And that's how you get the money, because you've got to be marketable.
Yeah, this is really fascinating, and I love the fact that that there's this ladder now. And I'm wondering also, I wonder if the fact that we do have Circuit of the Americas now, that it's
huge,
a permanent home, and that that Formula One's now owned by an American company, it's all got to be influencing these guys to push to do this.
Yeah, no question about it. And in fact, the F3 kicks off. And I like the idea that the SCCA will run both series, F4 and F3. So you've got a pool of talent there. I mean, they had grids of some 32 cars in last weekend. So you've got a really good talent pool to pick from there. And they're going to be on PWC, so they're going to be on big events. They're going to get crowds. They're going to see, you know, people are going to see them. And look, we had them on WEC and we had them on Formula One. These guys are getting good exposure. And as you know, from the guys we've had on the show, they're all very engaging. Jordan Sherrod up in Dallas, Jacob Loomis came on the show. We've had Kyle, both he came and commentated our F1 race.
Yeah, we've got the
right guy.
We've got a little clip of that on our SoundCloud if you want to hear it. It's Kyle Kirkwood talking about Max Verstappen live during that controversial pass.
Yeah, and by the way, nerd that I am, you know, I've listened to the BBC's commentary and Sky's commentary on exactly the same corner because I wanted to see how well we got on, and we did okay.
I bet we did. Yeah, speaking of that, it's always a good place to catch up with, you know, our primary is our speedcitybroadcast.com, and we're also on the Apple Podcasts is a great place to catch up with all of our stuff. We keep every show up there. And of course, SoundCloud. We put smaller, shorter, short form stuff up on our SoundCloud account. So you can find all that at our website. Go there and start there. But also, we're going to talk a little bit after we talk to Steve after this break. We're going to take a break here in just a second. But after we talk to Steve, we're going to talk a little World Endurance Championship.
Hell yeah.
They were racing this weekend. Ford had a good weekend. Toyota had a good weekend. We're going to talk about that. But let's go ahead.
And we have a new world champion.
That's right. We got a new world champion. So we're going to talk all about that. But up next, after the break, we've got the boss of the new F3, F4 championship, Steve Oseth. So stick with us. Speed City live in Austin, Texas.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome, and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Mosing Motor Cars is Texas's only authorized dealer for Superformance products. Superformance's Mark III is the only Cobra replica built under license from Carroll Shelby. There's no finer example of a Cobra around. Mosing and Superformance is your supplier for all the great race cars of history. The GT40, the Mark III Cobra, the Corvette Grand Sport, and the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Mosing Motor Cars, 2420 West Breaker Lane, online at mosingmotorcars.com. Superformance and Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
You have made the right choice. Talk 1370.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Welcome back to Speed City.
Now, come on, Dylan. Did you know that Brendan Hartley has just been declared world champion not a matter of hours ago? Or are you just brilliant?
He's giving me the,
he's keeping
I don't
quiet.
Know.
He's got a microphone producer in front of him. He could say, yeah, I'm brilliant, but he didn't.
That's pretty funny. They have amazed how many times our producers get that right. I think it's because we have such a good collection of those stored up.
Yeah, and Brendan Hartley, what a story. I hope we can get him on the show pretty soon. But yes, he's just won a world championship today for Porsche. And of course, he'll be sitting in that Toro Rosso next weekend in Brazil. I'd love to have done a documentary on Brendan Hartley's last 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's funny because we used to get Brendan Hartley on the show quite a bit. It's been a little more difficult lately.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to move on because we have a very special guest. We're really excited about this because of what it means to racing in open wheel and ladders to Formula One. We want to welcome Steve Oseth from the Formula 3 Championship and Formula 4. Steve, welcome to Speed City.
Good evening. How is everyone tonight?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Excited to have you on the show and to talk about basically the future, I think, is more importantly.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Steve, I want to ask you this. Give us a little of your background first, and then I want to jump into the genesis of where we are today with Formula 3 and Formula 4 and all of that. So give us a little background, and then let's start to there.
Well, I am vice president and general manager of SCCA Pro Racing. Obviously, we oversee, we sanction Trans Am and the F4 series, and obviously next year the F3 Americas series as well. From a racing standpoint, I've been a club racer all of my life, not mostly all in Formula Cars. So it is obviously Formula Car racing is near and dear to my heart. So.
Well, that's funny because we were talking about this before we went on the air, and I was a little surprised when I think SCCA, this didn't come to mind as the F4 and F3 series, and I don't know, that's not a negative, it's just not what came to my mind. So how did SCCA start up these series, this ladder, I'd call it, in the Formula series, open wheel series to Formula One?
Well, it is... the FIA initiated this concept 3 or 4 years ago of F4, which is an economical way for kids to come from karts into cars, specifically Formula Cars. And as we looked at it, it just seemed like it was something that we couldn't pass up. The total cost of the F4 car is $52,600. $51,600. I have raced Formula Fords in club racing for quite some time, and I could not reproduce my club Ford or my Formula Ford for what you can get an F4 car.
Ah, yeah, that's a big deal. I agree. That's cool.
it would, you know, so it's modern technology. It's a carbon fiber tub. It's paddle shift. You have data. It's everything that, you know, people coming up into formula cars these days are looking for. So at that price point, it just seemed like it was something we couldn't turn down. And I think the numbers that we've generated over the last 2 years have proved this correct.
You know, you talk about the modern car and with carbon fiber, and we looked at the steering wheel when they were here, when you guys were here for Formula One. And it looks, it's obviously not the same scale as a Formula One steering wheel.
No, but it's the beginnings.
But it looks similar enough and looks sophisticated. It looks pretty amazingly sophisticated. So, yeah, obviously the cars have got a pretty high level of sophistication.
Yes, that's true. And although in terms of something like a Formula One car, certainly it's pretty basic. But it is what drivers coming out of karts expect, and so you have to deliver. We're in the 21st century, and it's time to get on with things, right?
Exactly. I want to go back to the history a little bit. Am I right in saying that, you mentioned the FIA kind of pushed this a little bit from their point of view, Stefano Domenicali? We now have, I think, something like 15 F4 national championships worldwide. So it's a natural that the FIA, especially as the governing body of auto racing worldwide, would want to see America with this kind of championship, especially if it can fall in line with what's going on around the rest of the world.
I think that's true. It is, and our series so far is pretty much relegated to the East Coast. You know, here within the next few years, it is certainly our grand vision that we would not only take F4 out to the West Coast, but F3 out to the West Coast. And so it is, it's a hit as far as I'm concerned. It checks off all the boxes.
And so, just so people understand, the difference, you know, that basically the progression is, as you said, karting, and I kind of cack-handedly try to explain the sort of ladders too before you came on, but, there's been some obvious ladders to getting up to Indy and getting up to Formula One over the years, and yet they have trying to streamline them, especially from a definition of power and, with F1, F2, F3, etc., and we'll see more of that in 2019 in Europe, because even over there, it's been complicated. As an Englishman growing up, you know, Formula 3000 and 3.5 and all the rest of it. There's been a lot of confusion. Whereas the Road to Indy has had its progression as well. And this, again, is another clear definition of ladders to success and types of cars. So basically, Formula 4, if you succeed, I believe Kyle Kirkwood, is it 100,000 he receives for winning F4?
That will be in place for next year.
But okay.
Ligier, Enroque, Crawford combination have agreed to give the F4 champion a $100,000 scholarship into F3. And, the F3 champion will get a $200,000 scholarship to progress beyond F3. So it's,
that's awesome.
Those programs are starting to come together for us.
So that's a natural question for me then. So what is the approximate cost for a team to run in F4 and F3 for a season?
Well, F3 we don't know yet. Although I will say that our concept of F3 is different than what most people's see throughout the world. It is going to, this is the FIA's, what they call the F3 regional or national concept, and it is based on our F4 program to be economical to not only get into and to purchase but to run. What people lose sight of when they just talk about numbers is the cost of the car, but it's not just the cost of the car; it's the cost to compete, and uh, it uh, all our prices are cost controlled, not only in F4, but they will be in F3 Americas. So spare parts are cost controlled, the car is cost controlled. We're trying to make this as economical as it possibly can be to run.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that's a very important definition, is it's F3 of the Americas and therefore includes the USA, Canada, and South America, or which countries in South America?
Well, I think we're thinking of Mexico, the northern hemisphere part of North America. I think that and certainly if countries in South America want to adopt this, there's no restriction from them not doing it. But it is. But we're sort of trying to encompass not just the United States, but all of the. All of North America with this F3 Americas concept.
Steve, why I'm so excited, I saw how Brendan Leach came this year, and I do the Toyota Racing Series, have done for the last 6 years, which is a very expensive in terms of its, it's 6 weeks of glory, as it were, but a great series. And he has proved himself against the likes of Lance Stroll and, more recently, Lando Norris. And America was an obvious, and your F4 championship was an obvious place for him to go, because he didn't feel that he could get the sponsorship and get the, he didn't have the economic ability to move out of New Zealand and the US and your championship. And I think he'll hang around and maybe go F3 as well. So it's an opportunity also for people outside the region who are looking for an opportunity that is more economical to come here.
One of the strengths I think that we exhibit is the fact that we have attracted in the 2 years that F4 has been around, not just North American candidates for drivers. Obviously, Brendan is one. Jordan Sherritt out of South Africa is another. Baltazar Leguzaman, out of South America is another. I mean, we've had a number of different nationalities compete in our F4 series over the last 2 years, which is, from my perspective, I think it's really kind of neat to see.
Yeah, and it's very exciting for single-seater racing, whether it be Indy or Formula One, in the future, because you're talking potentially a catchment of the young Brazilian, Mexican, American, Canadian, and I'm thinking, when you look over history of where Helio Castroneves, where Alexander Rossi, where all of these, Paul Tracy, all of these guys coming up, Lance Stroll more recently, this is a great catchment area, and we're going to get another Fittipaldi, if you know your history, out of this, who could be a champion of Formula One or an Indy champion?
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. What we need to do is provide an avenue that is not only competitive but is attractive for people to come and run. So that's what we're hoping to continue to do.
Well, Steve, can you stick with us through a quick break? We want to continue this discussion if we can, if you still got the time.
Sure, no problem.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. This is Speed City Live in Austin, Texas. Going to continue the discussion about F4, F3 in the United States. Back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles, whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey. Because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
1370. Ed Brown, and this is Pizza.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Welcome back to Speed City. We definitely want to send our thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by this horrific thing.
Yeah, just down the road from here.
Yeah, it's about 70 miles from here.
So, so sad.
Yeah. That's
literally in the last few hours as well.
Yep, horrific. But we're going to jump right back into it. We've got Steve Oseth on the phone from the SCCA Pro. He's the Vice President General Manager of SCCA Pro Racing, and of course the head boss man about the F4 and the F3 programs. And Steve, I want to start back by when we started Speed City 5 or 6 years ago, and when the Circuit of the Americas was being built here in the United States, here in Austin, right here in our hometown. And back then, the hope for us was Alexander Rossi. In fact, he was our first live guest on the radio show. And going back to that is that we watched him struggle trying to get a seat in Formula One, and knowing that he basically gave up his life here in the United States. And I'm thinking that this might change that a little bit for guys that are wanting to move up the ladder. Is that a good assumption that they don't necessarily have to spend so much time in Europe?
Well, I think so. We are trying to develop a path not only for our drivers to go overseas, over to Europe, but, that can be a reciprocal deal. They can come over here and compete with us. I think if you take a look at what Cameron Doss did this year in the British Formula 3 Series, there was some negativity, I think, about him going over there last year because I think the perception is that Americans can't go over there and be competitive, and I think Cameron has proven them 100% wrong. Part of that was obviously his work ethic and how he goes about his development. But the other part of it is, we've got a pretty good series here. And he had a lot of competition last year. Kyle, our current champion, came in second to Cameron last year, and he's champion this year. So, it's quite a competitive field. And I think ultimately, competition is what makes you better.
Well, I want to ask you about I want to go to the engines. There's a lot of gearheads, myself included, who want to know about that. But one last question on this topic is that, the way that Liberty Media is changing Formula One, and we've got, obviously we have an American company owning Formula One, and they are making changes. And I think that their goal, of course, is to raise the awareness of the sport here in the United States. And I think Circuit of the Americas being built here has done a good job of that. And I'm just thinking, if you got all this exposure to Formula One, I think you're going to get more young Americans excited about this type of racing, and which should feed right into you guys.
I agree. Liberty is only a positive. I can only tell you that my experience with them in them allowing our Formula 4 series to come on board this year has been nothing short of fantastic. I think that they see the opportunity here for American drivers to progress and to go overseas. We just need to continue on with what we're doing and see what happens.
Yeah, I think hopefully that's hopefully it is going to grow the sport here in the United States. But let's shift gears a little bit and go to talk about the cars a little bit. I want to talk about the hardware because I obviously the affordability side, a car for $51,000 in F4, that's pretty amazing. And but I want to talk about the engine specifically. We got Honda. I mean, Honda is pretty involved in motorsport from various levels.
Top to bottom, yeah.
Yeah. And so the Honda powertrains in both F4 and F3, can you talk about those a little bit?
Sure. So the engine that we used in F4 is the same engine that is in the 2016 Honda Civic R. That on the street is somewhere around 300 horsepower. For F4, it's around 150 to 155 horsepower. So we take the turbocharger off. It becomes normally aspirated, but it is still a completely stock motor. It goes straight from the Marysville, Ohio plant to HPD to their engine facility in the race bits get put on it, the dry sump and the intake plenum and that stuff, and then it gets shipped over to Onroke and it's put in the car. It's completely stocked and sealed. For F3, basically what we're going to do is we're going to stick the turbocharger back on it. It will still be detuned from the street trim. It'll still be a sealed motor. So the idea is it's still going to be economical to drive. And to run, and it's a tremendous package. It's a nice engine.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Ironically, I've been doing TCR internationally and in Asia, of all places, but that Honda Civic R engine is pretty bulletproof. And I think Honda are pretty proud of the fact that, I mean, Civics have been around forever. And like you say, it's a stock motor, but it's the perfect motor if you can, you know, play with it a little bit like you've done with the turbo for two series like that. And that just makes for reliability and also for understanding for people who are coming to it, there's a lot of people driving around in a Honda Civic that can go, oh, okay, yeah, I understand that powertrain, as it were.
It really is critical to the program to have a stock sealed motor that is as reliable as the Honda Civic R motor. I go back to the cost to compete, and that's a key component.
Well, let's talk about some of the other parts of the series. Obviously, you've got the reliability and the known factor of a Honda engine. But what about the rest of the car, for example, itself? Let's talk about the rest of the hardware.
Well, so you're asking about the F3 car?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So the F3 car is. It is a brand new design. The FIA revamped their criteria for the F3 chassis over the summer, and so this will be the first car to be run that will incorporate the halo that you'll see in Formula One next year. It is really a stout piece. So it's going to be significantly safer than I think any other car of that performance type. If you want to compare it to other things like Formula Atlantic or whatever, I think that's a key component, obviously. So it's a little bit longer, so you have a little bit more room in the footwell. And it is an entirely new design.
You know what? Let's play a clip real quick on what you just discussed, because we had, obviously, you guys here for Formula One, and Charlie Whiting was there, and he was pretty excited about the United States F3 Championship. So let's hear this clip from Charlie Whiting.
Well, I think it's great to see this new car. I can't wait to see it myself. I've only seen a photo so far, but it's really heartwarming to see how successful Formula 4 has been here in the US. I believe you've delivered nearly 60 cars, Max, haven't you, so far, which is incredible. We've had, I think this year we've got 15 F4 championships throughout the world, so it's a really big success story. So we felt that with our new Formula 3 International Championship starting in 2019, we wanted something to fit in between a step up from Formula 4 to Formula 3 International, and hence the F3 Regional Series. And it's really, really great to see that you've taken it on, and so quickly too. I mean, this was something that was quite a surprise to us, that you were able to do it so quickly. And I think, as Laurent said, I think the fact that we only talked about the Halo in late August, and here you are, you've done it. So it's amazing. So we're really looking forward to seeing how this all works. And this will be the first of what we hope will be many Formula 3 regional championships. So good luck to everybody. And I think I would try my very best to come out and watch some of your races as well. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice endorsement.
Not bad.
From Charlie Whiting of Formula One. And, of course, he was referring to Max Crawford, who we're going to have on the show next week. Steve, tell us about Max Crawford, and because we were excited to have him on next week.
Well, no, and it can't go without being said that it's telling, if you listen to Charlie Whiting's comments there, the Halo was a late development. And it really is a testament to Max Crawford and Dave Cooper and all those people over at Onroke that they incorporated this in such a way to make it available for us for next year. They've been working day and night on this, and they've just done a superlative job.
Well, you know, I know that there's every choice that was put out there about making cars safer was controversial, but I'm glad that we've got one, because, you know, we think of Justin Wilson and other guys that, you know, that would have been protected more than likely had they had something like this. So I'm just glad we've got something decided on, and let's hopefully move on and have a safe environment to race in. But Steve, so one thing I have to bring up is that you guys, the young kids that were driving here in Austin during the Formula One weekend, that was a dream come true for a bunch of those guys. Having Lewis Hamilton and all the gang from Formula One right there in the same event, in the same venue that weekend. How was it having the event during the Formula One weekend?
Well, and I will say the kids were spectacular, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they were. The racing was great.
It was terrific. It was by far our best event of the year, and it was. They all enjoyed it immensely. I certainly hope we have the opportunity to come back. But no, it was good for the kids to get that kind of exposure for this kind of an event. Zach Brown came up and talked to him in the driver's meetings. That was quite something that they're not going to get at any other event. So it was a terrific deal.
Yeah, that's awesome. You could see the smile on these kids' faces, and it was a phenomenal event for them. But Jonathan, you had a thought?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking that, you know, and sometimes, especially if you're a fan of Formula One and you hear about Formula Four, and maybe you don't watch it as closely, but you know, when we're talking Formula Four and Formula Three, we really are talking about the future here. And the best example I can give is Lando Norris, who has just won the FIA Formula Three Championship in Europe, and he will be partnering Fernando Alonso at Daytona 24. Now, he is a Formula Three driver, and you know, that's now okay. He's had a meteoric rise. I'm not saying that the likes of Kyle Kirkwood or anybody else might be able to do that, but let's not be fooled. These guys, if they can muscle these single seaters around a track, and they've done the karting bit, and I'd like to get Steve's opinion on, because this is my opinion, but I think these guys really are the future talent of motor racing.
Oh, I agree with you. This is where the future drivers in Formula One and IndyCar are going to come from. I do believe that. Competition breeds good drivers. And we have had, over the last 2 years, a great group of drivers that have come in here and competed at a very high level. And that will only make them better in the long run as they move up the ladder, so to speak.
Well, Steve, I really want to thank you for your time, but I want to go on a parting shot, and because I'm sure this has put quite a bit of interest in amongst our fans who, you know, are ostensibly Formula One fans, but are always interested in the future. Effectively, Formula 4 and Formula 3 will run together next year, and it starts April 27th at Virginia International Raceway. Tell us a little bit about next season if people want to find you.
Yeah, you know, we don't have all the dates set. We should have that nailed down here fairly quickly. But for sure, we will be starting the last weekend in April at VIR with the Pirelli World Challenge. And we will be running F3 and F4 on the same weekends next year. That's going to be a good opener for us.
And I believe three races a weekend, so you've got a full year. I remember at the press conference, I was keen to know that. It's going to be a full season. It's six or seven events, but these guys are going to get exactly the same amount of track time, if you will, as you would going to Europe or going anywhere else. It's going to be a full-on championship, both F4 and F3.
Yeah, each series will have three races a weekend. The kids will be working hard.
And the fans will get their money's worth.
I like that.
Yep. Well, Steve Oseth, thank you so much for coming on to Speed City. We really appreciate it. And we're really excited, and we're going to be following this. Like I said, we're going to have Max Crawford next weekend. So we will be following you and very excited to have you.
And a quick shout out to Amy Greenaway. Keep sending the drivers and get them on the show because we love it.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly have enjoyed this. Appreciate the opportunity, and I wish you all well.
All right. Thanks,
Steve. Thank you very much. Good luck next year.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You very much. You too.
Thank you. This is really exciting. Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. That could be about 3 hours.
There's a podcast right there.
Yeah, you could keep going with that. Well, all right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the World Endurance Championship. They had a little fun this weekend. And we're also going to continue the discussion because we're going to talk about the Formula One engine discussion.
Ooh, yes.
About the new engines and how Ferrari and Mercedes are not really happy and Red Bull is and all the other stuff.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. All right, listen to Speed City. We'll be back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Central Texas's source for classic performance cars. British, German, Italian, Japanese, and American. Ready for that special car you've always dreamed of? Mosing has you covered. Looking to sell a classic? Let Mosing handle all the details and get that special vehicle in the hands of the right buyer. Visit the showroom at 2420 West Breaker Lane or call 512-821-9491 or browse the garage online at mosingmotorcars.com. Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Catch up on the latest headlines anytime at talk1370.com.
This is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, Mr. Jonathan Green, let's talk a little bit about... Do we want to talk about...
I was just thinking about Mario, his brother, his son Michael, and his son Marco. They totally represent the ladders we've been talking about
That's
over the years.
That's a good point, yeah.
I mean, you know, the definition that the legacy of the... that is the Andretti family and the all-American single-seater family.
I heard somebody say... I think it was a commentator, actually, said something about the Andretti family... It said something about they've done well in motorsports. I'm like, wait a minute.
What?
That's like saying, you know, the Kennedys or the Bushes did well in politics. I don't know. I can't even think of a good example. It's like, this is the royal, this is the family. Yeah, it's the Andretti's. Anyway. Hey, so before we go to World Endurance Championship, I want to talk about the F. Let's continue the formula discussion and talk about the F1 story. About the 2021 motors.
So, much controversy.
Yes, much controversy. Or how do you say it?
Controversy.
Controversy. That's right. So, you
debate.
Know, so yes. So what's happened is that Formula One has issued what they're thinking about. Essentially, so this is what we're thinking about doing, and they're talking about higher revs. So let's back up. They're going to start with stick with the same 1.6 liter engine, right?
Right.
They're talking about having it rev higher, which is cool because it sounds cool.
And makes it noisier.
Makes it noisier. Not only noisier, but cool noisy. But also allowing 20% more fuel, which they've got to do that if they're going to rev it up higher.
Yep.
Just the laws of physics make that happen. And they're also talking about removing the MGK-H, which is... The heat.
You saw me glaze over there, didn't you?
Yeah, that's the heat version of the... There's a couple of different ways that they can generate electric power in a Formula One engine. And this goes to the discussion that we got to have with the Mercedes.
I knew you'd get
that. Oh, my gosh.
You're still tingling from that, huh?
we got to spend... I think 45 minutes or something like that.
Oh, for Tim Commander Copra.
Yeah, thanks to the astronaut, Tim Copra. But we got to spend about 45 minutes in the garage.
And Brian Oakley, I met.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you.
With the one of the chief engineers of Mercedes. And two of them. And we got a tour like you've never seen. They took us to the back and uncovered engines and showed us the split turbos.
The secret behind this.
Success. Yeah, it was like no, you know, we've been to Formula One many years and I've never had a tour like that.
No.
So,
It was the essence of their success because what they've done with that engine in the last few years, getting the most out of that 1.6 liter with all of those regenerations and so on and so forth, has what's kept them ahead of the competition.
Yeah. Well, so they specifically spent quite a bit of time talking about the MGU-H, which is the one that's connected to the exhaust system through the turbo, right? And the guy told me, when they first decided to do this in Formula One, the engineer told me this, he said, they expected the main benefit of this is to be able to spool up the turbo quickly, right? I mean, that's the holy grail of using a turbo engine is being able to use that power instantaneously. Forever, decades of turbo use, turbo lag has always been this big horrific deal, and there's been all kinds of technologies used, whether it's super lightweight turbo vanes, ceramic turbo vanes, ceramic bearings, all these different things to make them spin up faster, but nothing like an electric motor to do it instantaneously. So they talked about how this MGU-H would be able to do that, but what they didn't expect is how much power they were going to be able to regenerate using it spinning in the other way. And so it's been an interesting path for them, apparently, that it generated a lot more electric power than they thought. But so those are the three biggest things they're going to change: removing that MGU-H, as well as spinning the motor up higher, allowing more fuel, making better and cooler and louder sounds. And of course, I'm going to toss this to you now, Jonathan, because both Mercedes and Ferrari were like, obviously they're the guys that have got this all figured out. They threw $1 zillion at it and got it all figured out and are winning with it. And especially Mercedes got it figured out. But what do you think they're saying this, Jonathan, as if you had to ask?
Yeah, the bottom line is, and there's going to be another important strategy meeting, as it's called, on Tuesday. So we should look out for that. Because that will be very important. And this is the initial stages. 2021 is a long way off.
It's the first discussion.
We've got interest from potentially Porsche. Obviously, everybody, you know, you've seen what Honda haven't done, and they're going to get better. Renault in the mix. Mercedes are there. Ferrari, of course. But the bottom line is both Ferrari and Mercedes have kind of thrown their toys out of the pram saying, you know, well, they have.
Yeah, sure.
Saying, oh, you know,
of course they
it's
would.
Not a slight tweak. We'll have to start from scratch, which I don't think Liberty have got a problem with, actually.
Yeah.
Because what they would like to see is a convergence of the smaller teams getting to play with the bigger teams. But of course, Ferrari and Mercedes don't want that. They want to stay elite and they want to stay above the rest of the crowd. That's basically it in a nutshell.
More to come on this story.
What you're going to say. This is just the beginning. Imagine the Senate or the Congress. Same sort of thing, folks.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we just got a little bit of time left. Let's talk about the World Endurance Championship.
Yeah.
Your friend, Brendan Hartley.
And Earl Bamber, who, by the
way,
it looks as though he's going to be an IMSA with Nick Tandy. How about that for a world exclusive?
That's
next year.
Yeah, you just got that on a phone call right from being on the air. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, I won't reveal my sources.
Of course not. You could tell me, but then you'd
have to kill you.
Yes, of course.
But no, fantastic. Porsche win the world championship again. Brendan Hartley, of course, who's everybody's knowing now because he's a Toro Rosso driver. Next week he'll be in Interlagos. Amazing.
I know.
Amazing year he's having. I'm so happy for him. He deserves it. He's a great driver, and he's just won the world championship with Porsche. More importantly, America are also world champions.
That's right.
Effectively with Ford. Well, they may not have won it, but they won again today, and they're on their way.
Yeah, Ford GT. Love to see them doing well. All right, we're out of time. It snuck up us on the end. But, hey, I want to make sure we talk about where you can find our show, not only here on the radio here in Austin, but on Apple Podcasts and, of course, on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. And you can go and listen to all of our shows there, as well as we have some sound snippets on SoundCloud. But go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, to check it all out. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Thanks to Steve Oseth for coming on.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Happy trails.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.